All right, so it's been I think about 4 weeks since the last episode. Really, let's see. I'd say for a couple of reasons. One thing, I think even 30 minutes might be too long for these episodes for me to continue, I guess, staying motivated to do it. So I'm going to try to keep them maybe even at 15 minutes. But the other thing is, I've actually been on the weekends, I've really just have not wanted to use my computer. Wanting to use my computer as little as possible on the weekends, and that includes YouTube and the internet in general. So that includes my phone. Just been working a lot, and I do a lot of work on the computer. So honestly, I'm kind of sick of using my computer on the weekend. But hey, let's try shorter podcasts and see if I can get back to doing them on a weekly basis. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris Kowalczyk. I'm an ESL instructor. I've been teaching English to non-native speakers, both in the US and abroad, since about 2007. So that's approaching 20 years. And I spent about 6 years in Japan teaching, and the rest of the time, so that'd be the other 12 years, have been here in the Southern California area, specifically Los Angeles and Orange County. So this podcast is originally intended just for my current and former students, but if anyone else is listening, hey, thanks for joining. Anything else? Basically, I'm just talking about my experiences as a language learner, learning Japanese, and also living in a foreign country, and from the perspective of an English teacher or ESL teacher. So today's topic was language immersion. I'm not sure if that's the right name for this or the right title, but what I wanted to talk about was first of all, notes and just kind of surrounding yourself with English as much as possible during the day. So let me start with the idea of notes. I'm not sure how closely connected these two subtopics are, but one thing I've noticed a lot in my teaching is a lot of students don't take notes. Or if they do take notes, they're taking notes on scraps of paper, the back of a handout, scratch paper, things like that, without any sense of organization or consolidation. Again, what I'm trying to say is, I've seen a lot of students not have a folder, basically, or not have a notebook. And a lot of students do have notebooks and folders, which is great, but a lot don't. And I think that's a really missed opportunity. And even for those students who are taking notes, the question is, how often are you reviewing them, right? So what I used to do when I was studying Japanese and also living in Japan was first one thing I did in high school, a little bit in after that too, is I would have flashcards, little note cards. I would keep them in my pocket at work because, my work was not always busy, often actually pretty slow. So I would just take out these note cards and just review for 5 or 10 minutes at a time. Just like how people usually do it for their regular school studies, subjects, test preparation. Saw that all the time. So if you're learning a language, you can do the same thing, right? You keep note cards with you, flashcards. You make them yourself, of course. They have apps for this, but I like even with all this apps and smartphones today, I think having physical note cards, having something tactile, something you can feel, is important. And also, I would prefer not to pull out my smartphone to do review because then I'm checking my messages, I'm checking YouTube, I'm checking the news, all these other things come up. So that's why I'm still even in. As much I use a lot of technology, like I said, I use my computer a lot. I use a lot of technology. I use ChatGPT a lot. I use AI for my work and just for my personal use. But I still, in a lot of ways, prefer notebooks and note cards. And I've been returning to physical books as well. I used to do a lot of reading on Kindle, like 95% of my reading on my device, Kindle device. But I've really been swinging back towards physical books for that reason, so that there aren't as many distractions. Even with the Kindle e-reader, where it's a dedicated e-reader, meaning you're not really browsing the internet, it's just for reading, there's still too many books on one device, right? So I kind of switching back and forth between books, whereas I feel you know, I have like 1,000 books on my device, whereas if I just have a physical copy of a book, well, that's the one book that I have to focus on, right? Anyway, so let's get back to notes. But yeah, nothing too crazy to say here, just that, you know, a lot of language learning is, I know there's scientific methods for language learning. There are things that you should do and there's things that you shouldn't do. There are things that work well, there are things that don't work well. But a lot of it is actually quite simple. You just have to keep doing it. You have to be consistent. You got to do it every day, I believe. If you want to use language like in real life, then you got to just keep doing it every day. If you're just studying English to pass a test, like a lot of students were back in their home countries, you know, it's just another subject. You need to pass the test and then, you know, whatever. Okay, you can study before the exam, sure. But if you're actually trying to use it in real life, in conversations, in writing, you know, you want to live in that country where it's spoken, then I think you just have to be consistent. So if you have the notes, great. Review them every day. That's what I did in Japan. I had my cards. I had my notebook when I was living in Japan. You know, most people take the train, and I was living in Tokyo. Most people in Japan take public transportation in the cities. So I would just review my notebook during a train ride. I was always taking notes during when I was watching TV shows and movies as well. Again, that's something I've noticed a lot of students who do watch English movies and TV shows. But they're often, well, a lot of times when I ask students, they say they don't take notes. And I think that's another missed opportunity. So there's nothing wrong with just simply enjoying a TV show or a movie in a second language. Just enjoy it. You know, you can't take notes for everything. And neither did I, right, in Japan or when I was learning Japanese. But what I would often do is go back and rewatch maybe the whole episode or maybe just part of it. And that's the thing. That's why you have to be interested, right? Because if it's uninteresting, then you're not going to be very motivated to rewatch it or revisit it. But these were things that I was very interested in, whether it was a TV show or a movie or maybe an interview or a comedy program or whatever it was, news program, is that there had to be an interest for me. And then I would revisit it and take notes and, you know, check my dictionary and write in my notebook and things like that. Another thing I did, and I would like to show my students during class sometime, is the way that I took notes, and this was before smartphones, you have to remember. I didn't even have an electronic dictionary. I just had paper dictionaries, right? Just a book, basically. So what I would do is I would write down the word, and then I would write down the context, meaning the sentence that the word appeared in. I would write the English translation, and then I would write the Japanese translation. And I feel that doing all of these things, writing them down, first of all, helped reinforce that learning. But seeing the context is also important because we know that words can be used in many different ways, right? And that context also helped me remember the word better. Of course, I have the English translation, but as we know, translations are not always accurate, because that's why we have different languages, because words mean different things. And then having that Japanese definition as well, writing the explanation in Japanese, just kind of helped me think in Japanese more, if that makes sense. Trying to imagine understanding a Japanese word as a Japanese person would explain it. And so that helped a lot too, I think, to kind of get into that Japanese thinking rather than just relying on translation all the time. Because as we know, again, even with Google Translate and all these translation AI apps, is that, you know, a lot is lost in translation. A lot is not translatable 100% because language carries a lot of context with it, right? Cultural meaning and so on, so nuances. So yeah, that's kind of basically the way I did it. So I would read a book, for example, and then the first time I'm reading it, I'm trying to enjoy the book or the comic book or newspaper or magazine article or whatever. And I would just make little marks with a pencil on any words that I was interested in or didn't understand. So I'd make a little mark with a pencil. I didn't want to, you know, ruin the book. Maybe a check mark, maybe a line. And then later I would go back. So maybe I would finish one chapter and then, you know, just on the train or waiting in the doctor's office. And then maybe another day I would go back and then, you know, check those words, write them down. And then maybe another time I will go back and just read the whole thing. without, you know, without using my dictionary, because I already looked up all the words. It sounds like a lot, but like I said, I'm not doing it all at once. I'm doing it here, I'm doing it there, I'm doing it on the train, I'm doing it in the doctor's office, maybe I'm doing it in the restroom, the bathroom, I don't know, right? So maybe I'm waiting for the hot water to boil. That could be 5 minutes. So I think just being consistent, kind of doing it throughout the day, I think is another thing. I know we tend to think of studying as something we do sitting down, and we allocate 1 or 2 hours for study time. I believe, at least my approach, is that you just kind of have to just keep doing it throughout the day. Anyway, that was my approach for reading, and then I already mentioned watching TV and movies and so on. Another thing, of course, is I guess this is kind of the bridge, is you can do the same thing while you're listening to podcasts or the radio, right? So, of course, the same thing. I would take notes. Now, it's a little bit harder with listening because you don't have the text in front of you. Although these days, including with this podcast, you often can get the transcript of podcasts. Radio is going to be different, of course, but there's even apps where it can translate in real time as you're listening to something. I know some of my students will use an app, so while they're listening to me talk, I can actually see it's translating or interpreting on their phone in real time, or a slight delay, of course, but maybe 2 or 3 second delay. So that is possible. But in general, especially if you're driving, or you know, you're walking your dog or whatever, you're not going to have time to look at the phone and listen, you know, and read the text, right? So it's always going to be harder when it's pure listening, not a movie, but just listening like a radio or a podcast. However, that kind of connects to my second subtopic, which is just kind of immersing yourself in that language. So while you're vacuuming, while you're taking care of your animals, while you're exercising, you're going for a walk, you're driving, you're taking a shower, whatever, you know, if you have the English constantly playing in the background, I think it's going to help you a lot. I had a former coworker slash colleague long time ago. Her husband, her English was amazing, and she was a graduate school student at UCLA. So obviously her English was super high level. She was from Brazil. And then her husband was also Brazilian, but I think he really didn't care about studying English. So I guess one of the homework assignments she gave him was to just listen to the radio as much as possible. And even if he didn't understand anything or everything, just to get used to hearing spoken English at a natural pace with natural rhythm, natural vocabulary, and so on. Not teacher talk, as I always tell my students, as I tell you all. So that has also helped me. What I used to do is I would just play podcasts. I mostly listened to some comedians. They would just be talking about funny things, and that kept me interested. These were comedians I saw on TV first, and then I would listen to their podcast. And now I wasn't understanding everything, but I liked listening to them talk, which was the first thing. Even if I didn't understand everything, I liked their voice. I thought they were funny. Even if I didn't understand all the jokes, they were laughing. It was making me feel good. And, you know, a lot of times, like I tell students, you know, watching the news, you don't have to watch boring CNN. You can watch local news programs. If you find the host attractive, or the news anchor, reporter attractive, hey, what's wrong with that, right? You're still getting good vocabulary. You're learning English. You're getting used to spoken English. I told my students before, there was a news anchor. Her name's Takigawa Crystal, or Crystal Takigawa. I really liked her. I thought she was really attractive. I liked her voice, so I would watch some of her news programs. Hey, the vocabulary is the same, right? It's still a high level of vocabulary of Japanese. It's not natural, I guess, because most people don't speak naturally when they're reading the news. But I mean, it's a normal pace. It's not for Japanese learners. It's for native Japanese speaking audience, right? And it's not just to say they have to be attractive. It's just somebody that you're interested in, or you like their voice, or whatever. There was another, he's not a news anchor, but he was often on news programs. He would explain complicated subjects like recessions and stagnation, economics, war, politics. But he had a very interesting personality. He was very kind of calm. I don't know. I just liked the way he talked. I read his books, and I would watch him when he was on the news on TV. So, yeah, getting back to my point about just always having this in the background. You're driving, you turn on the radio, somebody you like. Could be funny. Maybe it's about news. Maybe it's about sports. I don't know. Yes, you can take notes. But I think here the focus would be more just surrounding or immersing yourself in spoken English without the pressure of focusing on what they're saying, right? So again, kind of just having it on in the background. And I want to say I am preparing to go to Japan. I'll be leaving in a couple months, so it is approaching. Last time I was in Japan was 2019, and I moved back to the U.S. in 2015. I went back to Japan for a week in 2019. My Japanese was not good because ever since I moved back to the U.S., I basically haven't done anything in Japanese. I don't watch TV, I don't listen to music, I don't read comic books, almost nothing. I've been doing that a little bit in the last year or so, but almost nothing. And so I kind of want to be better prepared this time. It's 2024, so it's been about 5.5 years since I last went. And I want to be a little bit better prepared. And so I've been listening to, actually, these guys are still doing the podcast. I mentioned them earlier, these comedians. I'm surprised their podcast is still going. That's almost 20 years, but hey, good for them, right? So I've been listening to them again in the background. Just I spend so much time taking care of my pets. I would say 2 to 3 hours a day just because they need a lot of different things. They're very healthy but old, so they require a lot of things. You know, I got to prepare their food a certain way, and I got to take my dog out a lot. It adds up. The time adds up. We'll say 2 hours a day. So I've been using that time to listen to podcasts, audiobooks, but I was thinking, hey, you know what? I can also listen to these Japanese podcasts. And I've been noticing recently that a lot of it is coming back now. You know, when I first started about 3 or 4 months ago with the podcast, I was kind of slow. You know, my brain wasn't catching up to what they were saying. And there's a lot of words I was like, I should know that word, but I didn't, right? But now I've been noticing, I've just been doing this not every day, but most days. And I just feel more comfortable with spoken Japanese now, listening to it. And I have a lot of vocabularies coming back. I'm not really I'm not taking notes because that's not the purpose anymore. I'm not really learning Japanese. I'm just trying to refamiliarize myself. But I think it has been helping. Again, just leaving it in the background. I'm not concentrating on it at all. I like these guys. They're funny. It makes me feel good to listen to them. But I also have the added benefit of, you know, there is a goal here as well. So yeah, I mean, that's something you can definitely do. Something that you're interested in, though, and I think that's the key. And there's all kinds of podcasts out there. Whatever you're interested in, there's a podcast available. Video games, sports, murder mysteries, crime, economics, politics, whatever thing you can think of, you can find it. I'll give you one quick example because I really should be going. It's almost 20 minutes now. And recently I've been interested in some of the, you know, I'm 40 now, so I'm getting a little bit nostalgic for the 90s. And I used to play video games a lot. So I've been looking up video games from the 90s, Silent Hill, Resident Evil, things like that, especially horror games. And yeah, all I do is I enter the name of the game in the podcast, you know, search. And all of these episodes about some of my old favorite games pop up. Almost anything that you're interested in, you can find a podcast about it. And sometimes the hosts are interesting, sometimes they're boring, whatever. You got to find what you're interested in, what clicks with you, basically. So I think that's it. So again, the idea is immersion and being consistent, surrounding yourself with English all day. You don't have to understand everything, but you got to take notes. I'll say one more thing a student mentioned is they had their notebook in the bathroom. so they would review it when they were doing whatever they were doing in the bathroom. But I think that's a great idea, you know, just constantly picking up your notebook, looking through it when you have 5 or 10 minutes to spare. instead, and this is the thing I always talk about, get off your smartphone, right? If your smartphone is distracting you throughout the day, if it's taking time away from things that are more important, you got to put it away. And that, I think that, again, that's why if you can do things on physical mediums like paper, books, you know, things like that, I think that's going to benefit you a lot. If you're good with your smartphone use, you're disciplined, that's fine. But a lot of times I know you start out thinking, okay, I'm not going to use my phone. I'm not going to check my messages. I'm just going to read the notes, right? But, you know, 5 or 10 minutes later, you're already checking, you know, your social media, you're texting with your friends and family. And so it's totally understandable. But again, I think that's why note cards and notebooks are still the way to go. The student also said, or no, I don't know if she said it, but maybe we were just talking about it, but even just putting notes, like sticky notes, post-it notes, if you put those around your house, maybe put them on your refrigerator. You have a whiteboard. I have 2 whiteboards, which I almost never use. But if you have whiteboards around the house, you can make notes on them, words that you want to remember. Just keep doing it throughout the day. Okay, don't think of studying English as studying English. Think of it just as something you're doing throughout the day. I guess there's one story I can close with. I almost forgot. I wrote it down, but I forgot to mention it. Stephen King is if you don't know Stephen King, he's one of the most famous authors in our current, in modern day English writing. He's one of the best-selling authors of all time. He focuses on horror, but he does other things. Anyway, his son actually ended up becoming Joe Hill. He didn't use his father's, he didn't use the word name King, but his son Joe Hill became a pretty good author in his own right. He's got a few bestsellers. But Stephen King told a story one time about his son wanting to play, I think it was the trumpet. And the only time he would play the trumpet was during the music lessons, the formal lessons. And Stephen King noticed that his son was not playing the trumpet outside of those lessons. So he wasn't playing in his room. He wasn't playing in his spare time. And Stephen King said that's how he knew his son, you know, wasn't that interested in the trumpet. And I guess that's where they stopped the lessons. I guess the point is, you know, if something is really that important to you, I think you can't relegate that practice, I guess, to only the formal class time or formal lessons. I think it's something that you got to do throughout the day. And I think most people who are really, really good at something or are really dedicated to something do it, you know, more than just the class time or the lesson time. You see this all the time with golfers, right? Or people who are interested in golf. You'll see them practicing their swing at random times, maybe in the checkout line, you know, at a supermarket, or they're waiting outside for something, and they'll practice their swing, right, with an umbrella. I saw that a lot in Japan. These people, you know, when they had an umbrella, they would practice their swing while they're waiting for the train. And I think if you can do the same thing with your English learning, I think not only will you improve, but I think you'll probably increase your motivation as well and kind of change the way you think about learning a language. But I really should stop there. I really do want to, it's already 23 minutes, but I think as long as I can keep it under 30, I can maintain my motivation. But yeah, if you have any questions, if you have any suggestions for future topics or any comments, just make sure to leave that if you're watching on YouTube or listening on YouTube, and I'll be happy to get any ideas. I have a few ideas here on the board. One of them is knowledge versus confidence. I think I forgot to mention that or do a podcast on that. And then how do you measure your progress and ability? What does it mean to be proficient in a language? I wanted to talk about that as well. But anyway, I hope you found this interesting. Make sure to read the transcript or at least take a look at it, see if there's anything you missed. And yeah, hopefully I can keep this up on a weekly basis again. Thanks for listening.